that's what that it, you know, if it is that case, the training exercise could be preparing for a what? An attack. Okay? Why would they attack again? Well, because the attack would come if the South started not listening to the same what? Voice or word that the North, right? So if a different word comes in and they start adhering to that word, then immediately the other one starts to prepare for what? Attack. So this is, again, I'm just using this as an example in the spirit realm. In other words, that if you have been completely occupied by Satan, then he's not going to attack you because you're his. He occupies you. There's no need for attack. But if he gets word that you're starting to listen to another word beside his with a different under, and you could be a threat in the days to come, then he's going to start preparing to attack you. And then if you start acting on that understanding, you will be attacked immediately. Immediately. Because you represent a threat to his dominion in his occupied territory. Y'all hear me? So listen, if you're ever in a place in your life and there's no attacks, you need to question. You need to shake yourself and say, wait a minute. Have I been occupied? You say, exactly. Have I been occupied by the enemy? Now listen, I'm not saying, I talk about how I have greater peace and everything in my life. Listen, the attacks on my life now are greater. It's just I learned to see things and deal with things differently than I used to. That's what brings the peace. Not that there's not any attacks. Oh my God, no. There's attacks, 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 attacks. Why? Because the Word of God is continually coming toward me. Does that make sense? If the Word of God is continually coming to you, there's going to be a continual wave of attacks. I'm teaching basic faith tonight. Basics. You know, we get into all this, you know, like this angel thing. It's pretty awesome. But that's not going to do you any good unless you got this. You got to get this. Okay? You're learning something. So that's why Peter said, don't think it's some strange thing that has happened to you. You ever read where he said that? Said, don't think it's some strange thing. Could you catch that one, Paul? Don't think it's some strange thing. This fiery trial has happened. You know, no. Not only is it should not be strange for you, you should look for it coming. Because as soon as that word comes, you should say, all right, where's he at? Because he's coming. I'm not saying being paranoid about it. I'm not saying being fearful about it. But I'm saying what? Watch. You see? Be prepared. Watch. What did Adam do? He didn't watch. He didn't keep the garden. You see? He didn't watch. First Peter 4:12.
Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy.
You see that? So he's saying, don't think it's strange, this fire trial. Matter of fact, it's part of the, wait a minute, process. You're going to hear the word a lot. It's part of the process. See, I don't know how many people I've had come to this church and the Word of God comes to them mightily, and then the fiery trial starts, and they get offended. They get offended, and they leave. You see? I've had many of them come, and it's a small word, small word, small word. But then, when the big word, it's the big word that comes to them. It took years. Listen, don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. What am I talking about? I've seen people stick this out for years, and then finally the big word comes to them. It's their time to shine. It's their moment. And when that word comes, bam, that big fiery trial comes. But it's their moment. That's their moment. That's when they could shine. And then they get offended and they walk out. Man. Now they are fools because they've been through they've seen this thing. They've seen on the lower levels the thing come and the trial come. And then they, after the trial and they overcome, the glory comes. They've seen it. You see? But then when it's that big one, they should be looking at it like, oh my God, this is a big one. And then that bam, that big fiery trial hits you and you're like, okay, oh yeah, this is my moment. This is my, but they don't look at it like that. They get all mad. Mad at God. You see? How could God let this happen to me? Oh, don't think it didn't happen to somebody, great man of God. It happened to a great man of God called John the Baptist. It happened to him. His moment to shine. And he got offended. He got offended. Jesus warned him and said, "Blessed is a man who does not get offended in me." Blessed is the man that does not get offended in the Word of God. Cursed is the man who does get offended in the Word of God. Y'all hearing me? Listen to me. If a big fiery trial hits you, say, "My God, this is it. This is my time. This is my time. This is my time right here. This is my time." God's already gave me the word. The fiery trial didn't hit me. The reason why the fiery trial hit me is because the big fiery word hit me. The big fiery word that hit me is why the big fiery trial has hit me. So I have the faith. The faith is in the word to get through the trial, and my glory's right on the other side. Y'all see? This is why he says, when you look at Peter over and over, you'll see it throughout the Bible, or New Testament. You'll see it. Suffering, then glory. Suffering, glory. Suffering, glory. Suffering, glory. Over and over. Paul in Romans, he says, the sufferings of this present time cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. You see it? Suffering first, then glory. You read all that with Peter, he says the same thing. Suffering, glory. Suffering, glory. You see James, he says the same thing. Somebody catching James chapter 5, where he talks about Job. James chapter 5 talks about Job. Yeah.
"Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation."
There's that no swearing again. He ain't talking about saying some four-letter word. He's talking about an oath. You see? Now look, he said, "You heard of the patience of Job." If you look at that word patience, you got the computer there? Look at that word patience in the Greek. What does it say? There it is. Endurance. So, see, there's no difference between patience and faith. Listen to me. Patience, faith, and endurance are all the same thing. All the same thing. See? Okay, read it all.
Okay. Patience, have patience, have long patience, bear long, suffer long, be long-suffering, patiently endure, to be of long spirit, not to lose heart, to preserve patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and troubles, to be patient in bearing the offenses and the injuries of others, to be mild and slow in avenging, to be long-suffering, slow to anger, slow to punish.
Enduring suffering. Listen to me. Because, let me tell you something, this is how it works. The word is a seed. A big word of God comes to you, a big seed has come to you. A big seed has come to you. Then the devil comes to steal the seed. The devil knows that the word that came to you is a seed. That word is not going to come to pass tomorrow. And the bigger the word, the longer... The bigger the word, the bigger the seed, but the longer it is to the harvest. So what the devil does is he comes immediately for the word's sake. So the big word, the big seed, he comes with a big situation, a big circumstance that is completely opposite of what the word told you. To make you doubt the word. To make you, with your mouth, abort the seed. God comes, speaks this great future plan over you, everything. Then, bam, 2 days later, week later, everything comes unraveled. And then he waits, Satan waits for you to say that the word wasn't true. Remember what Jesus said. He told Jesus, or Satan said to Jesus, he said, if you be the Son of God. Jesus' big word came to him right after he got baptized by John the Baptist. That was his big seed. What was his big seed? The big seed came to him and said, this is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased. That's a big one. That's a big seed there. That's a big one. That's a big word there. Now, what happens right after that? Immediately, that word is going to get tested. And the first thing that Satan comes out of his mouth after that big word is, if you be the Son of God. Now listen, he also will try to get you to prove what the word has said. Listen, Jesus knew the word had came. The word's a seed. He don't have to prove it. He just has to receive the seed. The seed will prove it. If he goes and tries to prove it, you can abort the seed by trying to prove the seed. Hello? Is anybody there? It's not just by not believing the seed can you abort the seed. You can abort the seed by you trying to make it happen out of your flesh. Wow. Is right. Y'all hearing me? If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He wasn't sent to turn those stones into bread. Listen to what he says. Men shall not live by bread alone. Oh, but wait. He's talking faith. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Faith cometh by hearing and understanding a word by God. And God had not spoke to him about turning any stones into bread. And he don't have to prove he's the Son of God. He don't have to prove because he received the seed. The proof is in the seed. He don't have to prove what he already is. Satan did the same trick with Eve. He said, if you'll eat this, you'll be like God. Let me read Genesis 1:26. Let us create Adam in our image. Wait, after our likeness. Oh, wait. She was already like God. But he said, do something to prove it. Eat this and prove it. You hear me? Man shall not live by bread alone. Now, it don't say man shall not live by bread. It says bread alone. So don't go around thinking that you can have the faith never to eat anything in the natural. You're going to die. Because God ain't never going to tell you to do such a thing. You see? He said, you won't live by bread alone, but by every word. So a man lives in two places. The bread is for the place that he lives in the earth. The Word of God is the bread of the place that he lives at and dwells in the Spirit. Man is greater. Listen to me. I'm fixing to say something really, really big. Man is greater than, like, in other words, even if men of God have been here in the flesh and now they operate in the Spirit, okay? A person who's operating in the flesh and the Spirit is greater than them. That's why they have to look for somebody in the flesh. So if you're waiting to really have your time with God after this, no, your time is now. Your time is now. You say, well, you're saying you're greater than Jesus. Well, Jesus has to find somebody to let them use his body. I mean, they have to let him use their body. Or he has no effect here. You don't have to ask somebody or get somebody to let them use your body. You have a body of your own. You don't have to have someone else's help to get a body. And in that way, you are greater. Is somebody listening right now? Now, Jesus is unique because he had faith, went through the process, and God gave him the faith because he gave him the word. What was the word? The word was, I'll lay my life down and I'm going to take it up. That was the word. He said, I received this command of my Father. Here's another one for religious people. Jesus only had one command from the Father. He says it. It's in the book. He said, this command I've received of my Father. Lay my life down, take it up. Now, in this way, you're not greater. Because he rose that, so he has a body. He can pick it up anytime he wants to. He can use your body, but he also can just pick one up. He can go back and pick that one he had up. He can pick it up anytime he wants to. He has his own fleshly body still. Right now. Currently. So do some who obtain to that level. But the ones who don't obtain that level have to continually get somebody to let them use their body. So that puts them because they have to have this agreement. They just can't use their body. So that puts them at a it puts them at a disadvantage. Alright. The intention was, and it did happen, was God to increase and become something he had never been before, that God would become man and man would become God. That has happened. Jesus did it. Man became God, God became man. Alright? So the highest creation there is a God-man. Y'all understand that? That's my point. And that God-man, what makes him different and above all spirits is he has the spirit and the body. It puts him above all. Because there's nothing harder to overcome in God's worlds than the flesh. Yet, as of now, the hardest thing to overcome is the flesh. So anybody that could have the faith that would endure the suffering that it would take to take that flesh and turn it into God makes them the supreme being. But no one can just decide they're going to do that. God has to come to them and pick them and say it. Now, the good news about this is it says God is no respecter of persons. So, you can start off not even on God's radar. But you get a little word from God, and you're faithful. And then you build on that, and you're faithful, and build on it, and build on it, and build on it, and build on it. And then you just rise, and then he's like, whoa, boom, look at this guy over here. Where did he come from? And you attract God's attention. I'm telling y'all. Now, this goes to stuff with the angels, because the angels are the reapers, and they report back, and they report to God, you see. All right? You get their attention. How do you get their attention? By acting on the word that has came to you. And you keep on doing that. And the more you get in, the bigger the word. The bigger the word, the harder the word. But the faith is in the word, though. Every time it's in there. And the higher 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 you go. You see what I'm saying? So, you can't manufacture this. It's all done by hearing. You cannot go beyond what you have heard. But I'm telling you how to hear things big. This is why Jesus himself said, be faithful in the small things. I'll make it rule over many things. If you don't believe that Syrophoenician woman was not on his radar, was she? She was lying under the radar. But she didn't stay flying under the radar. She's only one of two people that he ever said that recorded, great is thy faith. Just two. Her and the centurion. That's it. And both of them, he said he was amazed. So that means they wasn't on his radar. He was not expecting that from them. But I'll tell you, I don't want to get so deep. The Father has hid things. And where do you think he hides things at? He hides them in people. Hallelujah. It's the glory of God to hide a thing. It's the honor of kings to search out the matter. Where does he hide stuff? In the flesh. Look what he hid in Paul, Saul of Tarsus. Were the disciples thinking that he was great? No, sir, buddy. They're like, man, get this lunatic out of here, man. He's killing us and everything. But see, he was killing them and doing all, but God had hid something in him. And if you don't believe he hid something in him, you got to read Galatians chapter 1. He said that he was set aside from his mother's womb. That's what he said. So God hid that in him. Even so, when he's killing these Christians and stuff, that's hid in him. You see? Disciples couldn't see it. They didn't see it. We don't know if someone was able to see it who had the faith. If you keep going, let me tell you something else that happens. You keep going on, you get higher words and higher words and higher words and higher words. You start seeing at different levels. Then you can start seeing things that God has hid, and you can see it in where He's hid it way before anyone else sees it. I was telling John about this the other day. I was saying, you know, talking a little bit about the process. And I said, you know, God points this out to me all the time. Like this bush out here. When you walk out this door, this big old bush right there. Most of the year, that thing is just kind of really ugly to me. All right? It's just big, it's kind of gaudy, it's bushy. All right? But one day, and God reminded me one day, it don't do it much, just a short period of the year, and I go out of the house, and bam! You smell it, man, it smells good. Beautiful white flowers all over, and it just hits you. Bam! Any fool can see it when it blooms. Any fool can see the beauty when the seed comes to fruition. Only those of the faith can see it when it hasn't bloomed and treat it the same all the way through. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. See, you better be careful. A lot of people that come in your life and stuff, they look like that ugly bush does about 90% of the time, see? And as you treat them that way, because you're not seeing the seed that's in them. Now, once the seed blooms, and everybody wants to hang out with them, but you could have built something with them before. The gifts of God, they're hid in some of the ugliest things until they bloom. Y'all hear me? If y'all'd have met me 14 years ago, whew, I was pretty ugly. I'm not a big guy now. I weigh like 168. About 14 years ago, I weighed about 128 pounds. Didn't look too good naturally. Certainly didn't look too good spiritually. But there was something hid in me. That hadn't come out yet. My own mother couldn't see it. If you ask her now, she'll tell you she was having a hard time believing if I'd ever be saved. We were going through some stuff the other day. And she read this thing that God gave her in 2001. That was the height of me getting into the drugs. And God told her, be patient. I'm working on him. You just can't see it. If you would go by the natural time, that's when I started really getting into the drugs. But the drugs were part of the work. But only somebody with a high, high level of understanding or a high word could see that. She was digging, and then she went through that and said it was like, I think somewhere, I think maybe May or something, 2001. And he says, stop worrying about Aaron. I got him. I'm doing a work in him. Be patient with him. Who are you not patient with? Oh, it's hidden, huh? See, they may have something hidden in them greater than what's hidden in you. And you're not patient. You're treating them because you're seeing the ugliness of the current state of the situation. And you're not seeing the beauty that they really are. Don't wait till it blooms. Everybody can see it then. Your reward is not when it blooms. Your reward is treating them like it's already bloomed. I'm talking faith. Faith has eyes. Hallelujah. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I would like to add a little bit to old Paul there and say this. I'm not taking away from him. It would just be help you understand. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen in the natural. What do you say? But it can be seen in the spirit. You can see that person bloom 24/7 in the spirit, because that's who they are. Because you see the end to the beginning, not the beginning to the end. That's faith. God said the evening and the morning was the first day. The end to the beginning. The Jews still do that. Their calendar, the new day, starts in the evening. When the sun goes down, that's their new day. Because it's a allegory of celebrating the way that God sees things. That He sees things from the end, not from the beginning to the end. But He sees things from the end and works His way back. And then brings it back. It's like that's where your circle comes in. Circle starts here, works its way here, and then comes back here. You say, and it ends where it started. You'll hear me. And everything comes, what they say, full circle. Or it says He sent His Son in the fullness of times. Same thing. Same thing. Alright. Now, I'm going to end tonight with this, because this is the word that came to me recently. And I believe if you'll stay faithful here, the word will come to you. You understand? It's coming to you right now through me, but also God has to confirm it individually in your life. How many believe that? Because we're all still at different levels and phases, and that's okay. If you're just patient and you're endure, whatever level you see someone else at, you can get there too, because the seed will get you there. Just don't abort the seed. It's just that simple. Just don't abort the seed. Just endure. Just endure. And then the seed will do its thing. The seed always does its thing. Okay? Life's in the seed. All right? So, but this is what he told me. He told me this. He said, "Son, I want you to stop looking, or I want you to stop waiting for me to give you specific instructions on what to do." He said, "I want you to start creating now without me waiting on me to give you all these instructions or details." In other words, what he's saying is, he's turning me free with a high faith to just create what I think needs to be done. You hearing me? You start off a slave, you end up with total freedom. Y'all hearing me? You start off a slave, you end up a son. When you end up a mature son, he starts giving you total freedom. What total freedom does is this. He says this, "I've given you my word in my faith, now you have freedom to create whatever you want or desire. Because why? Because he don't just turn that loose in anybody. That's after he a lot of suffering. What's the suffering? The suffering is to get the other stuff that's not love, joy, peace, patience, humility, you know, faith. All those other things, they're called the works of the flesh. You can read them in Galatians. Those things have to be taken out before he gives you that kind of freedom. You say, why? Because if those things are still operating in you, and then he gives you that kind of faith, that kind of freedom to do that, then you're going to create things based on your what? The lust of the flesh, blah, blah, pride of life, all that kind of stuff. See, that's not he ain't into that. That's why he said, Paul said, though I have faith to move mountains, if I have not love, it profit me nothing. That means if I have the faith to create anything or do anything, but I'm not doing it in the spirit of love, it's not going to profit me anything. It's going to come back and what, bite me. It's going to work its way back. It'll destroy you, actually. What you created will end up destroying you. That's why, I'm telling you a secret. That's why God has to love you. He has to love all of His creation. If He didn't love His creation, what He created, it would come back and destroy Him. It's not an option with God. He has to love Satan. If He don't love Satan, then Satan will come back and destroy Him. Can I get an amen? It's the truth. It's absolutely the truth. See? But as long as He loves Him, Satan can't destroy Him. Satan will eventually have to be subject to Him. He has to be stay subject to Him. He has to. See? Whatever, love never fails. Remember that. Okay? And then listen, true faith, it said, don't say this in Galatians, it just says faith, but I'd like to say it like this. True faith works by love. True faith. Because I say there's faith that a lot of times that ain't completely perfected, and it's not completely lined up, but people believe and still make things happen. Because men just has a power that God has given. And they can do things. It won't last. Though, when I say true faith, that kind of faith will make it happen for what? A little while, a season, a time. But it'll fade. It'll fade. But the faith that comes by love, it lasts. Hallelujah. That's why I call it the true faith. You see what I'm saying? Because there's faith that can move mountains and stuff like this, that their motivation is not love, but it still happens because they believe it. Does that make sense? And faith is a law, but it won't stay. It won't hold. That's why he said, go after the true riches. See, the true riches is the understanding of the Word of God. That's the true riches. I mean, understand that. That's the true riches. So, that's where I'm at. You know, that's really challenging to me. I've been so dependent on, because what he'll do is he'll beat you. Well, when you start off, you're so wild, you don't want to listen to him. You just go out and do it. But after he gets through with you, you're afraid to move. You get jumpy unless you hear him say something. You don't want to move. Everything's moving. You're like, I'm not moving. I ain't heard him say nothing. So it's hard, then you gotta work your way out of that. When he starts giving you this freedom, and then you're just like, I don't know, I still haven't heard anything, you know. It takes a while to get we saw that with Moses. Moses is a beautiful example of what I'm talking about. When Moses started off, he was so young and wild and, ambitious and then he killed the Egyptian and he said, what was he gonna do? He was gonna do what God had put in him, but he tried to do it out of the wood. So, you ain't the only one. Moses started, we all do, I'm telling you. And it aborts it for a while when you do that, but it can be put back. And so, it was aborted for a little while, it ran him out. But then when God got through with him, 40 years of whipping him out there in that wilderness. Then God tells him, then God tells him go, and he don't want to go. He don't want to move. You see. So, but what happened? Some of the greatest acts of God known to mankind. I would dare say this. I would say that besides Jesus, God, what we got recorded, no, God has never done anything greater through a man other than Jesus and Moses. The apostles didn't really come close to what was done through the hands of Moses. I mean, and it says he was the most humble, meekest man. Man, he'll make you meek. After he beats you with that cross, man, you'll get meek. You know, and you get timid. You know, you your power. You have power, but you're not so jumpy to use it. You know, you're very cautious. Before he turns loose that kind of faith, faith is power. How many believe this? If we don't believe faith is power, go back and look right here. Let's look at this right here. I'm going to finish up. Look what it says in verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Right there, look at that. That's how powerful faith is. It says, faith, the power of faith framed the worlds. You see? Frame the worlds. Now, what he's challenging me to is he brought this up. And this is what he told me. He said, I want you to stop waiting on me to tell you every little details and just do what I put in your heart that you just know to do. And I want you to start framing those worlds. And this is what he told me. He said, show me anywhere. This was powerful when he showed this to me. He said, show me anywhere in Hebrews 11 where it says I did something. He said, this is what he said to me, just recently. He said, show me anywhere in Hebrews 11 where it says, I done something. He said, it don't say I did it. He said, they did it. They did it with their faith. Of course, he gave them the faith. We all know that. I went through this whole process tonight to explain all that to you. But once he's brought a man to that level, they did it. They did it by their faith. That's what it says. Every one of them. Enoch, by his faith, was translated. Noah, by his faith, built the ark. It says he moved with the fear of God to do this stuff. It says Moses, by faith, refused to call himself the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You see? He stopped. Before he would receive that. He's the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He would receive that. Heir to the throne. Prince Moses, Prince of Egypt, highest king there was. But then he said, by faith, he refused to be called Prince of Egypt anymore. You say, by faith. See? But he says, he did it. He did it. Say, by faith. Look, read that down at the bottom, man. I love that down at the bottom. I'll read it. It looks like, it says, let's pick up at verse 32. It says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness. Did you know you can wrought righteousness? Let me read what that word wrought means. It means occupation. It means minister. It means trade by work. It means labor. It means to make gains by trading or doing business. To work out. To exercise. It means to perform. It means to call. Listen, I like this one. This is what I like about it. It means cause to exist. You can create righteousness by faith. Is that powerful? It says they created righteousness by faith. Hallelujah. It says, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They without us should not be made perfect. Hallelujah. It's powerful, y'all. It's powerful. So, this is a word. I've talked to you about faith tonight. Some of you are at different levels. Some of you, God's been telling you something for a long time. You still haven't acted on it. You know, act on it. Yes, is all hell going to break loose when you act on it? Of course. But, the glory's on the other side. And you have the faith in the word that he gave you to overcome it. Alright? And what's it going to lead to? Once you overcome it, every time you overcome, you gain ground. You see? And you keep going higher and higher, and you're getting greater and greater faith because you're getting greater and greater words. And then you get to the level where, hallelujah, where he says, that by your words, worlds can be framed. Come on, somebody. Worlds. Now, that word world there is ages, but that's just the start. You start framing ages, then you can frame, he told me this, he told me himself, you can frame universes. You gotta start with ages. If you can't do an age, you're not gonna be able to do that. It's all, like I said, it's all in the process, okay? But guess what? I'll leave it at this tonight. We're in a very important time where this age can go one way or another. We have prophets. I know some of them. Mighty men of God. But they're prophesying one thing. And I'm seeing something else. You see what I'm saying? Are they men of God? Yes, absolutely. Okay. But they're seeing at a lower level. Okay? It's just like I explained. Being able to believe God can heal your body versus being able to believe you'll never be sick another day in your life. It's two different levels. Two different words. You know? These prophets I hear, they believe that they can save, that the destruction's coming worldwide, starting by the fall of the world, using America, because if America falls, the world falls. So they believe that now God can save the true Christians from this. Okay. And that's a level. Is it not? It is a level. But I'm saying that it don't have to be that way. That God can save more than Christians. I'm saying He can save the biggest devils that are behind all this stuff. Hallelujah. That's what I'm saying. I'm seeing some things hidden in these devils that they can't see. Because this, these prophets, some of them I know, if they were alive at the time of Saul of Tarsus, and he was running around stoning Stephen, they'd been saying the same thing about Saul of Tarsus. They'd be calling him a devil. And they would say that, you know, he needed to, you know, God needed to get his revenge and stop this killing of the innocent Christians, wouldn't they? Because they couldn't see. Thank God somebody did. Stephen did. Hallelujah. Thank God Stephen saw it. The man that, of all people, the man that was getting stoned saw it. It was by Stephen's faith that helped. See, think about it. Stephen saw Paul before anyone else saw him. He was the first one to see him. He saw him in full bloom, and no one else saw him. That's why he said, lay not this sin to charge. Because he was seeing something no one else was seeing. It was by that they started watering that seed that was hidden in Paul. Now the seed was already there. What Stephen did, just put some water on it. And it started cracking open. God showed me, if Stephen wouldn't have done that, God showed me this, that all the apostles were binding Paul with their mouth. But when Stephen said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge, he loosed them, and then Jesus could visit him on the road to Damascus. Jesus could not visit him on the road to Damascus until he had been loosed, because he was bound by their unforgiveness, by their limited faith, by their not knowing and understanding, by their limited sight. Y'all hearing me? People can call Obama all this, and all, but it takes faith to see something hidden in that man. Come on, somebody. Anybody can say blah, 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 anything bad about him. That any fool can do that. When are you going to grow up? And you know what God told me about these prophets? Some of them I know, they're friends of mine. You know what He told me? He said, take dominion over them. That's what He told me. He said, you take dominion over them. Hallelujah. I prophesy this. I frame this age. This age is going to be the age of the greatest grace that this earth has ever seen. The greatest salvation. The greatest humility. The greatest love. The greatest faith. Hallelujah. The greatest justice. And justice is not going around stating the obvious in the flesh. Justice is calling Saul of Tarsus, the greatest apostle to ever walk the face of the earth, when he's still going around beating and killing Christians and throwing them in jail. I'm talking about justice. Because God knew when He was doing that, He said it Himself, that God revealed it to Him, that He was called and chosen from His mother's womb. So justice is speaking what He is, no matter what He's doing in the flesh. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about justice. Justice is coming. It's coming. Hallelujah. And justice isn't going around judging with the natural eyes and the natural ears. Justice is judging by what God has chose before the foundation of the world. And it has nothing to do with what is being acted out in the flesh. He just needs some water thrown on it. That's all he needs. Justice is to throw some water on the seed. That's what justice is. Once the water's thrown on the seed does what the seed does. Faith. If you had the faith as of a grain of mustard seed. Now you know what that means. That faith, that seed is so small you can't hardly see it. But if you'll just endure, it grows up to be a tree that's high and lifted up. And that tree is the tree of life. The life is in the seed. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He said, I am the seed. He said, did he not say it? He said, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go to that cross, and I'm going to be planted. That's what he said. I'm going to be planted. And he said, if a seed does not die, he said, it abides alone. But if the seed dies, it produces much what? Fruit of the same what? Kind. Well, listen to me. He's already been planted and he already died. It's time that we see the fruit of it. On the same fruit. The same fruit. The same level. The same one who created these, framed these worlds. Right here with words. Same one. It's time. Hallelujah. And I'm prophesying it will be done in this age. I frame it. It will be done in this age. It will be accomplished. It will. And I will prophesy this. Every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, in this age. This age is going to happen. Hallelujah. This age. This age. Father, tonight, I thank You and I praise You, Father, for helping us understand. I thank You for being patient with us. I thank You for enduring long suffering for us to see the seed come forth. I thank You, Father. I thank You, though. It's time, though. It's time, Father. It's time. Yahshua said, today and tomorrow, I heal the sick and I cast out devils. But on the third day, I'll be perfected. I'll be matured. I'll come to fruition. I will bloom. It's time, Father. It's time to see the Son of God bloom. Hallelujah. I see it, Father. I see it in this age. It will happen in this age. Hallelujah. The earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. All creation is waiting for the sons of God to bloom. Hallelujah. I'm prophesying right now, sons of God. I'm prophesying millions of sons of God in this world, in the United States, in Africa, in England, and New Zealand, and Australia, and India. I'm speaking right now to the sons of God. That I'm speaking to sons of God that are murderers right now, that are drug addicts right now, they're rapists right now, they're thieves right now, they're liars right now. But I'm saying you're not a thief, you're not a liar, you're not a murderer, you're not a drug addict, you're not a prostitute. You are a son of the living God. Arise, men of God. Arise, women of God. Wake up and receive this water that's coming to you right now. And the seed that is in you will come forth. The seed, hallelujah, the treasure, hallelujah, that is in you shall come forth. I thank you, Father. They're coming forth all over this world. All over. In Asia, hallelujah, they're coming forth. In Africa, they're coming forth. North Africa, South Africa, hallelujah. In Israel, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In Jamaica, hallelujah, they're coming forth. In Haiti, they're coming forth. In Mexico, they're coming forth. In Brazil, they're coming forth. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father. I thank you. Those seeds are coming forth. We send the rain. Hallelujah. We send the rain right now. We send the rain. We loose them. We loose them right now. By the power and the authority given to me by my Father, by my faith, I release, I loose every son of God, every woman of God, every manifestation of the Son of God who's in a current state of being a murderer, a liar, a thief, a drug addict, a prostitute, in anything, a thief, whatever it is, any son of God, anywhere, anywhere, anyhow, I decree, I loose you. I loose you right now. I remit your sins, hallelujah, right now. I remit them right now. Wherever you're at, your sins have been remitted, hallelujah. Arise and walk, hallelujah. Lazarus, come forth, hallelujah. Come out of that tomb. Come out of that grave. Come out of that lie. Come out of that tradition. Come out of that sin. Come out of that flesh. Come out. Come out. Bahashita rababu kurashi. I frame this age as the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. I have the angel of creation right here. Hallelujah. And I say, by my authority, by my faith, by my power, this is the age of the manifestation of the Son of God. And I say that no weapon formed against it shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against it in judgment shall be condemned. For their righteousness is from my Father. It's from me. I can even create righteousness. I create their righteousness as Stephen created the righteousness of Paul. Hallelujah. Oh, shatara baba badi shiradaha. Y'all realize that, right? When he said, lay not this sin to their charge, Stephen created their righteousness. You have the power to send people to hell, or you have the power to create their righteousness. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. It's time for us to start loosing some righteousness and stop loosing curses and disease and weakness and all this kind of nonsense. Doom, destruction. My God, it says Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It don't say God comes to destroy. My God, Baha'i.